Oh man, I'm almost there. Almost there. I can see it. I'm almost there. Woo! Come on, baby. Almost there. Yes! Woo! Oh, man. Oh, whoo. Wow. Oh, how are you guys not out of breath? Oh, man. That's a long way from there to there. Good grief. I should have been taking your Zumba class. Whoo. I am wiped out. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. Give me a minute. All right. I think I'm good. All right. So this morning, we're going to be talking about running. And not physically running, hopefully, unless you're a runner. And then you probably talk about running all the time. Or at least you do it. Believe it or not, all of this used to be in shape. And I used to be a runner a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Whew. Anyways, the thing is, if you're a runner, you set goals, you train, you do all kinds of things to get yourself prepared. And in life, life is kind of like a race, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how our life is like a race and how the things that we have to do to get ourselves to the place where we can cross that finish line and be, like, proud of what we did, not in a prideful way, but be proud of ourselves and even furthermore, have God welcome us and say, I'm proud of you, kid. You're awesome. Earlier, I said I used to be a runner, and I don't do that so much anymore, unless Arby's has their 2-for-5 sale, or if I'm being chased by the police. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. In all seriousness, though, like I said before, we're going to talk about life, and we're going to talk about this race that we're all in, this race that God has set out before each and every one of us. Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So, let's talk about running for our life. You guys with me? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to sit in these seats and to just engage with you, God, to learn from your word, to grow in our walk, in our relationship with you. I thank you for this awesome time of worship that we got to have, where we took our hearts and we poured them out to you. And God, because of that, I pray that you, in return, would just cleanse us and fill us with your spirit and just do amazing things in each and every one of us and through each and every one of us. And God, right now, as I get ready to speak, I pray that you would just help me to say the things I need to say and not say the things I don't need to say. And God, I pray that each one of us would just have our ears tuned in to hear what we need to hear and our hearts tuned in, God, to receive and to live out the things that we need to live out from these words. So, God, I thank you for them. I thank you for these words. And I just pray that you'd help me communicate them clearly and in a way that makes sense for everybody and that each one of us walks out of here changed because we've been in your presence and because we have grown and learned from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we've all heard of the rat race, right? You guys have all heard the rat race? Anybody running the rat race right now? Nobody wants to admit it. Okay, there we go. Just takes one. It basically means that we're chasing after the prize of success and wealth. Here's what it says. When I Googled it, it said this. A rat race is an endless, self-defeating, or pointless pursuit. The phrase equates humans to rats attempting to earn a reward such as cheese, in vain. It may also refer to a competitive struggle to get ahead financially or routinely. You see, the rat race is not what God had in mind for us and for our lives. The race that he sets out before us has purpose and it has meaning. And a few points, I want to talk about a few points today about this, what I'm going to call our life race. This life race that we're all running. If you're a runner, you know what? That you know you have to train. You can't just go out and run a marathon tomorrow, right? You could try. You'd probably not make it the full 26 point whatever miles that is, because that's a long ways to run, right? Has anybody here ever run a marathon? Three people. Awesome. Let's give them a hand. That's awesome. How about a half marathon? Oh, yay. Bunch more people have done the half marathon. How about a 5K? All right. A lot of those. How many ran to the bathroom this morning when you woke up? A lot more. All right. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave that one. Anyways, if you're a runner, you know that you have to train. You can't run a marathon if you've been a couch potato for the last 20 years, right? It's just not going to happen. We have to be prepared, and we have to be training, we have to be learning, and we have to be growing as an athlete. And so in this life race, we have to do the same thing. If we want to run the race that God has set up before us, we have to get into shape. Psalm 119 32 says, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. This portion of scripture comes from, I'm going to read it in context. This comes from Psalm 119, 25 through 32. And it says, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told you of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart, or set my heart free, is another translation. You see, these words are words that we should live by. We should want to learn of the Lord's ways, right? We should meditate on his great works. God has done some amazing things, hasn't he? Has he done amazing things in your life? I hope so. If you think back to the stories in the Bible and the things that God did, amazing, amazing things, and we should think about those things. We should seek strength in his word. You guys ever feel weak? Running that rat race, we get wore down, don't we? Hurdles. Anybody ever try to run hurdles? Did anybody here ever run hurdles, like in track? God bless you. I was too short, and so I tried it twice and kept hitting my shin, and that hurts, so I just go under it. Much easier. But we have hurdles in our life, and so we need to seek his strength from his word. We should seek truth and not falsehoods. There's a lot of false stuff out there, isn't there? There's a lot of fake religion. There's a lot of fake stuff that people try to package into Christianity, and it's not true. And so we need to be vigilant and on guard and know what's real and what's not real. What are the things that God wants to teach you, not some guy, right? On late night television, on his infomercial. We should choose faithfulness. And we should run in the way of his commandments. In other words, we should know what they are and live in those, live with those in our life and evident in our life. When we live according to his plans and his purposes, it gives us the stamina to run this life race. If we are filling our hearts with God, we have strength. When we fill our hearts with the things of this world, it only drags us down. They become hurdles in the middle of our race. So we need to train to live by his purposes. Another good verse to live by is Isaiah 40:31. It says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Is there anybody here that's impatient? Anybody hate waiting in line at the grocery store? Anybody hate it when you go through the drive? You're coming up 291 and you see there's no cars in the line at McDonald's, but by the time you make the turn and get in there, there's four. Ever happen? Yes. I hate that. I don't like to wait. I want things right this second. Now, I'm not one of those internet snobs, though, where like, well, hey, we could have 28,000 gigahertz coming through this building if we did this. I don't even know what that means. So I don't care about that so much, but I know that Zach and Bill do. They care about that stuff. It's like, dude, our internet could be so much faster if we just did this. Okay, where's the rabbit ears for that? You know, like, what can I do, Bill? What do you want me to do? Get on the building? Or, you know, whatever. I'm kidding. But they do talk about fast internet all the time. All the time. Constantly. Okay, maybe once, like 2 years ago. But anyways. But we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait for internet. We don't want to wait for our food. We certainly don't want to wait to check out at the grocery store. And we don't want to wait when God has put something out there for us to do. We're like, okay, God. Or is something that we want it right this second. Or if God says, hey, I'm going to do this in your life, and that was like when you were 12, and it hasn't happened yet, and you're like, when's this going to happen? Was that guy a false prophet? Did I just hear wrong? What's the deal? You know, we get impatient about these things. But this verse says, but they who wait for the Lord. We have to wait sometimes. You see, he always knows better. He always knows better. I've probably told this story once a long time ago, but when I was a kid, I wanted a dog so bad. I wanted a dog. I read Where the Red Fern Grows, like, all the time. Constantly. It's like the only book besides the Bible that I've ever read in my life, really. Kind of. Almost real truth. I loved that book, and I would cry and cry, and I'm not going to spoil it. So anyways, it's about dogs, and so I would cry. And so I wanted a dog, and I'd beg my parents all the time, can I please have a dog? I want a dog so bad. I want a puppy. I want a puppy so bad. Please, please. And my parents were like, no, no, no. It was always there was always a reason. There was always some excuse why we couldn't have a dog. I don't know what it was, but, you know, whatever. And finally one day, my dad said, stop. I'm tired of you crying, I'm tired of you whining, and I'm tired of you begging for a dog. We're not getting a dog, period. I started praying for a dog, and guess what? 2 months later, I had a dog. I had to wait, but I got a dog. Because see, I put it before the big guy upstairs, and he's like, that dude wants a dog. Here's a dog. So, kids, they're over there. Yes. Thank goodness. Don't tell them that story and don't let them listen to the podcast, especially if you don't want a dog. Now I've got 3 dogs, 2 cats, and a mama cat with babies on the way. So, God, I don't want a dog. I've got plenty right now. I don't want any more dogs is what I'm trying to say. I love my dogs, but I don't want any more right now. Anyways, we're not good at waiting. We want things to happen, and yet God's word is very clear that he knows better, and it's something that sometimes we just have to do. And it says that when we learn to wait, he's going to renew our strength. You see, if you're running this race of life and you feel like sometimes you're getting a certain distance and then all of a sudden it's like a train comes and you got to stop and wait for the train to go by. And then as it's going by, it's slowly slowing down and then it stops and then it backs up and it picks up another car and then it goes and you're waiting forever. In those moments, know that God is doing something. We don't always know what, but he's doing something. in that moment. And so we need to learn to wait so he can renew our strength. And then it says, we will run and we're not going to get tired. You see, if we wait in those moments, it's because God knows that we need to put on the brakes for a minute. People who run marathons don't sprint for 26.2 miles or whatever it is. Right? They pace themselves. They run at a pace that they're comfortable with. They sometimes challenge themselves. They're sometimes challenged by another runner because they don't want to get past. And we, as we run this life race, we need to go at our pace. Sometimes God's going to slow us down. Sometimes he's going to push us. Sometimes others are going to push us. But we need to learn to wait so we can not get tired in the long run. So we need to learn to not rush God. Most runners also realize that they have to grow as an athlete. They may not win their first race. They may not come in second or third or fourth. They may not win their first 10 races. They may not win their first 100 races. But they train themselves. They grow as an athlete to get to the point where they can win a race. They know that there can only be one winner. However, in today's society, everybody gets a trophy, right? But there's really only one winner, right? If you watch the Olympics, if you watch other sporting events, if you watch the Super Bowl. Who won the Super Bowl this year, by the way? Who was it? Rick, who was it? Rick, who won the Super Bowl? I don't remember. Was it the Chiefs? You didn't watch it? You should have. It was a really good game. You watched the week before, though, right? Yeah. I'm just teasing him. We love Rick. We do. Not as much as other people in this room, but we do love it. I'm kidding, Rick. You are awesome. In spite of your bad decisions, we love you. And God does too. Anyways, here's the deal. We have to grow in our training. Runners grow in their training to achieve the goals that they want to accomplish. And we have to do the same thing as a believer. We have to grow. We too should grow in our walk to accomplish all that God has for us. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it, that you might be the winner." You see, everybody in this room is on your own race. You don't have to race the person next to you. You don't have to race your spouse. You don't have to race the elders or the admin board or the pastors. You've got your own race that God set before you that's unique solely for you. And you run that race. So guess what? If you're the only one running it, who else can win? You see, if God is your trainer, if God's your coach, if God's on your side and he's laid this race out for you, then run it to win it. You see, the only way you can lose the race that God has put before you is if you just decide not to run it. If you're just like, "Nah, I got my own plans, God. I want to run my own race." But if we run the race that God has set before us, and we follow him, and we are led by him, and we do the things that he's called us to do, there's no way to lose it. Except for ourselves. What we allow into that racetrack. The hurdles that we put out there. The little side paths that we decide to take. Hey, here's a shortcut. I'll go this way. And then somehow we get lost for 20 years. Right? And then all of a sudden we're back on his track. Oh, there you are, God. It's not his fault. It's ours. Now, we could say that the prize is eternal life in heaven. And that wouldn't be a wrong answer. But see, there's so much more to it than that. if we're only running the race to achieve that goal, I think we're missing a little bit of something there. You see, God puts that race out before you because he has a plan and a purpose for you and for me and for you and for me and for you and for you and for you and everybody in here. If you call yourself a believer, he has set out this awesome race, this awesome life race for you. There's going to be hiccups, there's going to be hurdles, there's going to be trials. But it's unique to you. And if you run it and you're going for it, then the ultimate prize, yeah, it's heaven. But there's all these things along the way that God wants you to do. He wants you to talk to that person and lead them to Jesus. He wants you to help that guy. He wants you to help that lady. He wants you to be involved in a community of other believers so you can grow in your faith and run your race better. He wants you to add to your family. He wants you to add to your church community. He wants you to give back to others. He wants you to be a good citizen. All these different things that God has for each one of us. So if we're only running for that one thing, we might miss some of the other things along the way. So keep your eyes open as you run. If you're a runner, you know that while you're running down a track, you got to watch out for certain things, right? Maybe there's a stone in the way. If you run on the streets or whatever, twist an ankle, those kind of things. So you got to watch out. You got to watch where you're running. If you run on the roads, you also got to keep an eye out for traffic, people that aren't paying attention to you. And so the same thing. If you're running this life race, we keep our eyes always going. What can I do next? Where am I supposed to go next, God? What's the deal? What? Oh, help that guy? Okay. And then, oh, yeah, okay, I'll be part of that. Yeah, okay. Well, my family, yeah, I am leaving my family behind. I need to get back. I need to get my family, you know, and bring my family with me. Those kind of things. And so he wants us to share our faith with others. He wants us to feed the hungry and help the widows. He wants us to love him and to love others as we run this life race. When we're running hard and we're doing the things that God has called us to do, we are obtaining the prize. We are loving, we are living in his will. So we need to grow in our faith, and God will carry us through this life race. The finish line is the ultimate goal for every runner, for every racer. They have their eye set on that finish line. But it's not just the finish line that we should always keep our eyes on. It's also finishing well. And this is where the whole sin thing comes in that I was talking about earlier. You see, when we allow sin into our life, it's like carrying a weight. If you are a runner, like if you ran track in high school, you had like the lightest tennis shoes that man could possibly have, right? And then you have some guys that would run barefoot or run in their socks or whatever. I don't know if that's legal or whatever when it comes to track rules, but they had those really lightweight track shoes. I remember that. You see, I tried to be a track athlete, and I became the manager instead, which is more important because I couldn't bend the pole vault. True story. It's too light back then. Now I'd break it. But anyways, sin becomes this weight. The other day, I picked up my daughter from school, and she carries around this backpack. How many of your kids have to carry backpacks all the time now? Okay, some of you. They have lockers, but the amount of stuff that they have for this little locker is way too big. And she got in the car, and I picked up her backpack to move it to the back seat, and I about had a herniated disc. I mean, it literally weighed like 80 pounds. And I was like, you walk around with this on your back all day? Yeah. So, Northland Christian, I'm coming for your money. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Just the chiropractic bills. Not really. But I was surprised at how heavy that was. And those of you that have kids in school, you know, I mean, they carry home these backpacks with all this weight on it. And It reminded me, you know, as I was preparing for this message, I was like, you know, when we try to run this life race and we're full of sin, it's like trying to run with 80 pounds of dead weight on your back. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. And so we can't let sin become the thing that weighs us down. We can't let pride become the thing that weighs us down. We can't let addiction become the thing that weighs us down. You see, the life race that God set for you, he never said it was going to be easy. But when we add to it ourselves, it makes it twice as hard. So we need to let go of those sins, of those weights that are holding us back from being able to run the race that God has set out before us. 2 Timothy 4:7 says this, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. That's how I want to finish, right there. I want to be able to finish this thing called life, this life race that I'm on someday, and you know, and just be like, okay, God, you know what? I know my time is now. I hope that I pleased you. I hope that I did everything right, as best of my ability as I could. I know I messed up a lot, but you know what? I fought it. I fought as the best that I could, and in my weakness, you were my strength, and so I'm done, and through it all, I kept the faith. That's what I hope I can say someday. And I hope you can say the same thing. I hope you don't get to the end of your life race and be like, man, this 80 pounds of sin I've been carrying around for the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years has just about broke me in half. This weight of arrogance and pride dragged me down. And I barely crossed that finish line. The addiction that I've had in my life has deteriorated my insides. And I don't even know how I'm breathing right now. So God, I didn't fight a good fight. But here I am. I'm at the end. You want to know the cool thing about that? If you're sincere about that, when you cross that finish line and you say, God, I know I didn't fight a good fight, but I am so sorry. I hope you can forgive me. And I hope that you will remember me. He is a good and faithful God. And he will forgive us. But you know what? I want to make him proud now. I don't want to have to wait till the end. I want to make him proud now. I want to run the race that he has set out before me. I want to run the race that is lit before my feet because of his word. I don't want to go down the dark paths and the dark trails. I want to finish well, and I want to keep the faith. When we look back on our life from this point, have we fought the good fight? Are we doing all we can to run this life race the way that God wants us to? Or are we running it on our own? Are we running the rat race? Are we keeping the faith? Or are we running in vain? Philippians 2:16 says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Run the race. Run the life race that God has set before you. Don't run in vain. Running in vain is like running on a treadmill. You go nowhere. You get really tired, but you go nowhere. And if you run on a treadmill, I'm not knocking that in real life. I'm just saying that if you're running this life race, but you're just standing still and you're just playing, basically you're going through the motions, right? You're standing before other people and you're putting on your good little, hey, I'm a good little Christian boy hat. And around all of your church family or your home family, you're this perfect example of what a good Christian should be. But then when it comes to the race that God set before you, you're just running in place. There's nothing really happening. You're not doing anything. You're just playing a game. Don't run in vain. Don't labor in vain. When God puts a work before you to do it with all of your heart. And do it in a way that's pleasing to Him. Because you know what? You'll enjoy it more. If you go into anything that God has set before you to do, whether it's to visit the sick or to pray for somebody, if you go in with it, into it with a good attitude and just knowing that, you know what, this is what God wants me to do, you're going to enjoy it. How many times do we stand up here and say, hey, we got a work event coming up this Saturday, if you can come and help? And you're like, oh, I don't want to paint. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Right? Because Saturday's my day off. I don't want to do that. I've done that. And I work here. I set up the work day one time and I didn't even show up. Not because I didn't want to, but because I had other things I had to do. But I may have planned it that way. No, I didn't really. But you know what? There's a lot of great people in this church who show up. And if you didn't show up, please, I am not judging. I promise you I'm not. But what I'm saying is, if you go into it with a good attitude, man, it makes it so much better. Mike Humphrey said something the other day. We were talking about all the things that we're trying to do around here, just with changing the name of the church and the momentum and getting people involved and all this stuff. And right now, we just have this really cool thing kind of happening. And he said, you know what, guys? Don't lose that. You have all these people that are wanting to do stuff, and they're excited about it. So take advantage of that. And then Bill said something in our staff meeting the other day. And he said, hey, John, you, me, and Zach, sometimes we're getting in the way. We need to get out of the way and let some of these people who are awesome at doing some of these things do the things that they're awesome at, and we just kind of encourage them. And I was like, yeah, you're right, Bill. Sometimes we're the bottleneck. Because we have all these people who want to serve and want to do all these things, and yet we think, oh, well, you know, I can do it better than they can, so I'm just going to do it myself. And then we wonder why people don't want to get involved sometimes. It's because it's maybe something that's been put on their life race, and they're trying to follow it, and then some moron like me gets in the way and tells them to do something else. I don't know. The thing is that we don't want to run in vain. We don't want to labor in vain. Pastor Bill, Zach, myself, Beth, Valerie, Ashley, we are here because we want to serve this church and we want to serve God. And sometimes when we try to do things on our own strength, we labor in vain. But when we are on track with what God is leading and calling and all those things to do, we're in His groove. And so when we get there when we get in that groove, stay in that groove. Don't run in vain. Because when we do that, we end up running in circles. Post Malone. In order to run the life race that God has set before us, we have to do these things. And I talked about these, all three of these today. All right, never mind. There we go. We have to train to live by His purpose. We have to train. So how do we do that? How do you train to live by His purposes? Well, you read His word, you pray, you spend time with Him, you hang out with other believers, you go to church, you get filled with knowledge and you get filled with his spirit, and you do all these, you know, you listen, and you, like, how else do we learn, right? I mean, for all of us, if you're in school or if you're a runner or if you're whatever you're doing, when you start a new job, you get trained, right? You get trained how to do the thing. And so for us as believers, we read his word, right? That's God's manual for us. It's his story. We come to church and Pastor Bill brings us messages that encourage us and they train us and they teach us how to live this life race and to avoid the rat race. The next thing we do is we learn to not rush God. We have to wait sometimes. If you're running full steam all the time, you're going to wear out. Listen to his voice and slow down when he tells you to slow down. Stop when he tells you to stop. But don't rush God. And then we have to grow in our faith. And when we do that, God will carry us through this life race. We have to run for our life. As we wrap this up, I just want to ask all of you, if you would, just maybe to bow your hearts. You don't have to close your eyes if you don't want to. That's between you and God and yourself. I mean, that's not what I'm saying, but just bow your hearts for a second and let's talk about this life race that we're all on. I want you to look in the rearview mirror for just a second of your life and see where you've been. Look at the hurdles, look at the trials, look at the sin, look at the addictions, look at the things that have been in your way so far. Maybe the road is completely broken behind you. Maybe there's nothing but a brick wall behind you because you just came through it and it was a big, big deal. Maybe the road behind you is nice and straight and pretty well cleaned. I don't know. Each one of us is different. But if there's things behind you that you look at and you see and you're like, you know what? I remember that and I am not proud of that moment. I'm not proud of that time in my life. I'm not proud of that sin. I'm not proud of that addiction. I'm not proud of that pride that I had. I'm not proud of that arrogance that I had. Here's the deal. It's in the rearview mirror. So leave it behind. You see, the life race that God has for us, as I said before, it's not always going to be easy. But a lot of times the things that we put in front of us are because of ourselves. But see, God's got four-wheel drive. He's got turbo. He's got a monster truck. See, all those obstacles can be avoided. All those trials and tribulations, you may have to go through them. But if he is with you, if he's driving, remember the old bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot? No, he should be your pilot. You should be hanging out in the back seat. You see, if we do that, if we say, God, from this point forward, I am not going to look behind me anymore. I don't care about the stuff behind me because it's done. It's in my past, and you have forgiven me, and you've helped me get through those things, and now I'm moving forward, and I'm only going forward. If that is where you are today, then stay on that path. Go forward full steam ahead until he tells you to slow down or to wait. But be strengthened by him. If you're here today and you look at the road ahead of you and you see nothing but hurdle, after pothole, after wall, after boulder, after no road at all, it's gone. Then cry out to God today and say, God, I got a lot of obstacles in front of me and I need you to clear a path. Because I cannot do this on my own. I need you to make a way where there seems to be no way. Dear Jesus, we humbly come before you. Lord, I thank you for the life race that you've put me on. I thank you for the life race that you've put every other person in this room on. And each one of them is unique to that person. God, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would keep our mind and our eyes focused on you and you alone, and that we would run this life race well, that we would finish well, that along the way, the things that you tell us to stop for, we'd stop for. The things that you tell us to take detours for, we would take detours for. And in those moments, we would find your will in our life, and we would help others and do great things for your name's sake. And God, that we would forget about the things behind us, and we would just move forward. God, for those that are here this morning that look at their situation and they say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. God, I pray that even right this moment, you would begin to speak to their hearts and they would clearly hear your voice telling them to cry out to you, to telling them to keep their eyes on you and to forget about the things ahead, that you'll take care of them. But they're going to have to work for it too. They're going to have to follow you. They're going to have to give up certain things. God, forgive us for carrying the weight of sin on our backs. Jesus, you already carried all that weight. So why do we pick it up? Jesus, help us to just drop it and forget it and to move forward with you. God, if there's anybody in this room that does not know you, that has never experienced your love in their life, God, I pray that today they would understand that there's a God that loves them, that will forgive them, and that will put them on a really cool life race. That when they come to the obstacles ahead, it's going to be much easier to get over those things than it used to be. That they can find hope in their life because they're not running by themselves anymore. They're running with you. And then God, finally, I just challenge each one of us to run this race in a way that will please you, that will stay in your will, and that will train. We will grow in learning to wait. That we will focus our attention on you. And we'll move forward. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the things, the exciting things that you're doing here. I thank you for the leadership of this church. God, as you're guiding and leading all of us, Lord, help us to keep you as number one. And God, I pray for our pastor, Pastor Bill, and his family, Lord, for Valerie and their kids. I thank you, God, for bringing them into this place and for having them be our pastors. Week after week, Pastor Bill comes up here and he brings truth from your word, and I'm so grateful for that. It's easy when you only have to do it every once in a while, God. And so for a man who loves this place and has been here for over 20 years, God, I just pray that you would continue to guide him and lead him. I pray that he would know that his church loves him a lot. And that that the life race that you have set before him, that he's running it well. God, we love you and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.